Just say this, you never know. You never know. You have no clue how God can use you. One of the things I love and that we want to make sure that as you are part of our church, you get this, that this is never hidden from you, that you know it. And that is that you are missionaries here. So whether you go to Argentina, or whether you stay here in Lindale or Winona or Hawkins or Van or Mineola or Tyler, that you understand that the Holy Spirit of God has called you here and it is not an accident and you are to be on mission for him here. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. One of the things yesterday, I got to be a witness of something that was really cool for me as a dad. I watched two of my children's basketball games with Little Dribblers here in Lindale. And if you've not gone to a Little Dribblers game, then you're missing out, okay? There is some incredible skill level going on there. So I know this is going to be a stretch for you guys to really get and understand, but my children, Aaron and I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're not very tall. And genetically, our kids don't have a chance to be tall either. So our kids are literally, and this is no stretch. You can go to the game and validate it. Our kids are literally the smallest kids on the floor, okay? So yesterday, Karis, awesome, like balled out. She played so well, great handles. But she went, one time she was in the block on a free throw, which, you know, the shortest person should not be on the block down low. And there was a girl that nearly, and I could be exaggerating, but that girl was, she's taller than me, which isn't much. In fifth grade, that was 2 feet clear, 2 feet taller than Karis. And you know what Karis did? She boxed her out. She was fearless. Later in the day, went to Elijah's game. Elijah is really small. He's an 8-year-old. And I witnessed that little rascal play like 100%. Like, he hustled all over the floor. He was everywhere trying to get part of any loose ball, doing everything he could. Got knocked down a bunch, got back up, kept going. And he kept, and smallest kid on the floor. He was guarding a guy that was a head taller than him. Fearless. And you want to know what got him to that place? It's because they were prepared. They knew their objective. And they knew, like, on the way, I give them two objectives as a dad. It's the same objectives I give their older brother. It's the same objectives I give them in school. Same objectives. You do your best. I don't care if you're the best on the floor. You do your best, and you have fun. That's it. Win or lose, you do those two things, it's a win for daddy. And they did it because that was their command. Now, we're going to find out that we are witnesses to something incredible. Like, the Holy Spirit of God is coming. We're going to walk through this. This is something we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. And as we're gearing into it, we're going to begin to see our role. And I want to get this. There's so much I want us to get through this year as a body. But this is the one of the major things. If you don't know this, I want you to know this. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the church. It's not a building, which we're grateful for buildings, and we could use a little bit more space. We'll get there soon enough. But that's our hope, is that you understand that you are the church, that the gospel is being spread through you, not a building. It's not a program. We use programs to equip you. We use staff to equip you. But you need to understand that this gospel message, the hope of the world, you have it. You have the keys. You do. I am grateful that I get to be part of a team of people that care, that passionately. Like, this week, you can pray for us as a staff. All of Grace staff is getting together to pray for, to plan on better ways to equip you so that you can be who God's made you to be. We care, like, tears and prayer and sweat so that you get that. It matters to us that you know who you are. That matters. So, I'm done with the mushy stuff. We are a church, and our thought is this, that our mission is that we are being and making disciples. that you understand that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a disciple of him, and your call is to make disciples. And what does that look like? Again, this is a lot of repeat over the past couple of weeks, but I want to just drive it home. A disciple is one who knows God and his word, who knows God and his word. One that is living a life that corresponds with that knowledge. And then these two, I'm just building. Each week there's going to be a building that happens on top of these foundational truths. But here's this. Yesterday, I got a call to go to the hospital, visit somebody who's a regular in our church, and she's older and been sick lately, so she hasn't been able to be here. So I go and I visit, and I meet her daughter and her son-in-law, and there, I never met them before, but they are followers of Jesus Christ, okay? And I'm sitting there in the hallway about to walk in the room to see this sweet lady. And me and her son-in-law are trading back and forth, encouraging scriptures of God's word. And even though I have never worshiped with them, never been in a Bible study with them, none of that stuff matters. What mattered was that Jesus Christ had saved and redeemed both of us. And together we have a commitment to each other to spur one another on to love and good works. And I experienced that true fellowship where the agenda was pushed aside, no will or purpose of man, and we were just focused on being the church together, and it was amazing right there at ETMC outside of the ICU. And so we were going to be known as people who know God and his word, who live a life that corresponds with it, and this other piece of a disciple is a commitment to each other. A commitment to care for, serve each other. Where we talked about last week, the true idea of fellowship, of koinonia, is putting beside our will, our desires, for that of the purpose of the gospel, and for God to be glorified in and through us, okay? So that's what we're going to be known for, a commitment to each other. And fourthly is this, and we're going to paint this out, is being witnesses, okay? So the four gospels show Christ crucified and resurrected. Acts shows Christ ascended and exalted. The four gospels model the Christian life modeled by the perfect man. Acts models the Christian life modeled by imperfect men. Anybody know what it's like to be an imperfect person? Can I get a witness? Let's rev it up, right? We are, and we're broken, and we need to see how to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles if you have it. If not, you can look on the screen. And hopefully it's bright enough in here, okay? I want to let you know if you're a Bible reader, you probably want to sit closer that way. That way I won't spit on you. Sorry, guys, I'm glad you're here. Just kidding. Hey, so chapter 1, verse 1 of Acts. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So, a few things of context so that we get this. I don't want to assume that everybody knows this. The book of Acts is basically a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. Okay, and what Luke does here is he lets you know who he's writing to, his friend Theophilus, someone he cares about. His name has great meaning. It means friend or lover of God, so someone who cares deeply about God. And so Luke goes in and, like an investigative journalist, goes in and reports and gets all the information he can about what Christ began to do. So that's the Gospel of Luke. And then it says, verse 2, until the day he was taken up, and he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. And so what he's done is summarize what the Gospel of Luke is about and what the book of Acts is about. Okay? Just painting that out. Verse 3. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering. So he talks about the resurrection. By many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So nowhere else in Scripture do we know that Jesus was there for 40 days. So to give you a little bit of background, when we think of, if you've been in church for a while, we talk about Pentecost. Usually our mind defaults to what happened when the Spirit was poured out. But for them, that was actually one of their festivals that they celebrated 50 days after Passover. So Jesus was with them for 40 days, And so you're going to see a command in a moment that they were to do, and it happened. The command lasted for 10 days, and so we'll get to that. Verse 4, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So if you remember, we're not going to cover this in the coming weeks, but you can read ahead. Believe it or not, if you own a Bible, you can do it yourself. Following what we're going to cover today, they prayed for 10 days. 120 followers of Jesus sought the Lord and prayed. And at the end of that, the Holy Spirit poured out on them, just like he said. And so they stayed together and prayed. Now, he's giving these commands, telling them what to do. And notice where their mind goes, okay? Remember verse 3, he mentioned the kingdom of God, all right? Verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority. Okay, so they kind of got distracted, little rabbit trail thinking about the kingdom. But notice verse 8. He goes back to what he was talking about, the Holy Spirit. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, many of us have heard this. I'm not going to take a show of hands because I don't want you to be that one person who has it to keep your hand down and be like, thanks for, you know, blowing my cover. But I want you to see this. He lets them know you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. One of the things we find out about the Holy Spirit, there's so many intriguing, amazing things about God in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we need to get. But here's a thought for today. I want us to get this. This is our summary statement. It's this. The Holy Spirit benefits us now and gives us an assurance for eternity. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes, first speaking of Jesus, he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. So again, the Holy Spirit is a benefit to us now and empowers us now, but it also gives us an assurance, a seal of our inheritance, of what we have in Christ for eternity, you see, until we obtain possession of it. This is a powerful piece. So a few things here. This word witness in the Greek, it's a funny word when you see it because it's very similar. It's actually the root word where we get the idea of a martyr, okay? But this word martyr here, or martes, that's right here in the text, actually gives a picture of like a court proceeding. And there in that court proceeding would be one who is a witness to an event, who sits there and is one who testifies about what they saw happen in a situation. And so he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be a witness. You will testify about what I've done, who I am, to the world. You will do this in Jerusalem first. You'll go in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You will do this. You will be my witness. You will be before the court proceedings, before the whole world, letting them know who I am, what I've done, and what that means for them. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be a witness for that. So our church desires to be missional in its approach. That word missional is not even recognized by Microsoft Word. Bill Gates hasn't discovered it yet, so it gives the red squiggly underline letting you know that that's misspelled. But you need to know it is not. Here's the reality of missional. When you hear that term, it means that we are active, okay, in our mission. That we are missionaries who have feet to what we believe, who begin to go out and do it. Now, that can mean you go to Argentina. That can mean you go to South Africa. You can go all these places, but wherever you are as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are on mission. Your activity as a follower of Jesus Christ is the mission. And what is it? Being and making disciples. So wherever you are, that's when you're to do this, okay? You're to do this wherever you are, whenever you're there. So last month, I had the privilege of going with Brandon Means, a young guy in our church. Okay, he favors Tony Romo. He's handsome, yes. Okay, so he and I, he made me look good. Anyways, so we're going over in his truck over to Arlington to go see Mineola be amazing against Yoakum, okay, which was really cool. And I'm going with him over this game, and he follows his GPS. Makes him take this exit, goes off on the exit, and we pull off. As soon as we get there, we see lights from a police officer, and there is a car upside down, okay? You may not know this, but Brandon is trained in EMS. Like that's what he does for a living. He flies in helicopters and saves people. He goes in ambulances and saves people. This is what he does. This is who he is. He's trained to help people in these situations. And so you know what happens when Brandon sees a situation where a car's turned over or an accident has happened? He gets on the scene and he does what he's been equipped and trained to do, and he does it well. So he says, "Lewis, you don't mind, do you?" Puts it in park, gets out of his truck, and goes to help in the situation. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to understand that we need to be ready whenever the situation and wherever we are. Whenever, wherever, prepared. And so what we're going to be at Grace is we're going to be part of equipping and preparing you to do what you've been called to do, empowered to do by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. Amen? That's what we're going to be. This is good. So here's the outline. Love this. He said the Holy Spirit's going to come. And you're going to go. The Holy Spirit comes. You're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to go here. Do your work. And if you follow the outline of the book of Acts, 1 through 7, Jerusalem, 8 through 11, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. He goes, that's the outline of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes. You're going to go. This is powerful and encouraging. So where are you going to be witnesses to? He's letting them know. And it transfers to us. You're going to be witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He died to pay for our sins. He was resurrected. He is now exalted in heaven. He calls us to believe in him and so receive forgiveness of sins. We're witnesses to this. We're witnesses to the fact that this is good news, that there is nothing to join. There's no ladder or system to climb. We have all we need in Christ. Just as a person, we receive it in him, and we have eternal life. And the other thing that we're witnesses to, you're witnesses to your own story of who you were and who you are because of Christ. And you tell that story. You're a witness to that. In the court proceedings of your everyday life, when someone you encounter comes forward, you let them know, hey, look, you need to know I made all these poor decisions. I was broken. I was a hot mess, and I was messed up. But Jesus came and ransomed my wretched heart. And you need to know he's done this. He's transferred me from darkness to light. And that's the story. You are witnesses of that. And if you've seen it in other people's lives, you tell them that story. So keep reading. Let's go to verse 9. Now we see that there's the command, the mission to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, watch this. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, the two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So, amazing, right? They're sitting there. They hear this amazing, like, powerful message and command from Jesus to go. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and then go. And they're standing there listening to his last word. And there's like a sort of a punctuation to his sentence. And they're standing there. And then a cloud takes them and takes them into heaven. And these guys with saucer eyes and jaws firmly planted on the ground are watching him go. And these two angels come in and say, "Hey, fellas, what are you doing standing here? Why are you standing here looking to heaven? What's that about?" And I want to encourage this truth for us. We don't come on a Sunday morning just to stand and look to heaven. Do you understand that? You see, that question was calling them to something more. It was calling them to remember the command that he had just given them to go and pray, Go seek the Lord, and you've got work to do. See, here's the thing. This is the neat thing. What Jesus is doing there, Jesus goes to make an intercession for us. And the Holy Spirit comes to empower us. He goes to make an intercession. This ascension happened. And so for them to get this, he goes to make intercession for them, and the Holy Spirit comes to empower us. So where did Jesus go? So they're just staring. Sometimes we're just staring. Where did Jesus go? He ascended into heaven. He's exalted. He's sitting at the, according to Paul in Philippians 2, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He's on the throne. And what does it mean that he's on the throne? The understanding in Scripture about the throne is this, two things. One thing is, it's a place of ruling for those in authority. It's also a place of judgment. And Jesus being at the right hand becomes our interceder, our paraclete, our helper who stands before him as one who defends us. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says it this way: after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 through 2, he says this: we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. I know propitiation, you drop that word when you go to Starbucks. It's normal, right? Propitiation for our sins means he's the appeasement. He's the one that appeases before the Father. He's before the Father and saying, hey, look, this one is one that I've redeemed. This one has been covered in the blood of the Lamb. He is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so he's there. And so you need to understand two things of comfort. He sent his Holy Spirit to guide and empower us, to be our seal for our inheritance for eternity. But while that is taking place, while we're still here, he's up in heaven interceding for the saints. So we're called to be witnesses of him. And so that means it doesn't matter the challenge that you'll face. You have assurance in who he is and what he's done for you, and you have the power to do what he's called you to do. So even if it costs your life, you have assurance that you have an eternal hope. 7:03 in the Pollard House, we still got the alarm set. And we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ at 7:03 every night. I still, when it goes off, even if I'm by myself, I pray. Even while they're suffering, and they're doing it with the assurance that they have an eternal home in heaven with Christ who is interceding for them, and then a Holy Spirit that empowers them to keep on keeping on. And you are missionaries. You are witnesses of this truth. So how can we be martyrs for Christ or witnesses for Christ? We have assurance because of the ascension. We lay our life down because he laid his life down for us. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, he says this. I want us to see this. This is powerful. Many Christians estimate difficulty in the light of their own resources, and thus they attempt very little, and they always fail. All giants, being giants of the faith, have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on his power and presence to be with them. What if, I love what ifs, what if we here in Lindale just made a decision? We're going to shoot for the moon. To be disciples that make disciples, we're aiming at the moon. And we want everybody that God puts in front of us to know what Christ has done to redeem them and how he's redeemed us. And we're going to operate in letting them know this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so whether your job is just kind of a common IT job and you work in front of a computer, but you end up going to a store, there's an opportunity. Whether you're big into gaming and you're playing video games with people across the country and you have an opportunity while you're talking smack to them and killing them in whatever video game you play, and you say, do you know about the hope? See, I want you to understand it's not limited to some pretty church event for you to share the gospel, for you to be burdened and broken for someone. It can happen while you're on vacation. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And he can use any of you. It doesn't matter if you're single or married. It doesn't matter if you're in a blended home or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you know that Christ has come and that he's ransomed your wretched soul and he wants to use you to let other people know how he can do it for them. So it doesn't matter your background. He can use you. Wow, I'm going so fast here. So, the Holy Spirit has come. So let us respond by being witnesses, us, the church. You've heard this the past few weeks. Let us respond by reaching in and being part of the solution. By reaching out and sharing the gospel with those where we live, work, and play. By reaching down and helping those with needs in places where we live, work, and play. And then together, reaching up and asking and depending on Christ and Christ alone to help us. His Holy Spirit, let's reach up and just trust him to lead us. One of the neat things, I want to give this perspective and this framing. We have very deliberately as a church in leadership thought of, I mentioned it last week with our booklet stuff that we've got, that it's online, it's on our church website. It's also on Facebook, on our church Facebook page, if you're into that. I tweeted it because I know I got so many of you that are following me on Twitter. Just kidding. Or Instagram or any of that stuff. I know some of you guys back there. All right. So here's the deal. We have this booklet that's been written, and in there is a challenge. And this is one of the ways that we've sat there and put the ball on the tee for you, gave you a great pass right to the basket, a layup for you, just off the glass in the basket. This is a way that you can do it. We are challenging you, 2017, to take five people. There's a blank spot on the first week. There's a blank spot for you this year to prayerfully consider five people that you will pray for. That you would say, you know what, I don't know where they are with you, God, but I'm asking that you would soften their heart, that you would prepare them to know you. Wherever they are, that you would get them ready to hear the gospel message, and then that you would be, as you're praying for them, the burden for their souls is on you, and you begin to have engaging conversations with them. And then throughout this year, by the end of the year, that you're in a one-on-one relationship and discipling them. That we would be a church that is disciples making disciples. That me saying this to you is boring and it's a broken record. It keeps playing for those of you millennials. Broken record keeps playing the same loop. I don't know. Okay. So that's what happens, all right? That you would say, you don't have to tell me to do that. I know I'm supposed to be doing that. But we want to get you just to prayerfully put five people. And then you'd have somebody that you're accountable to that's checking on you and saying, hey, how are you doing with your five? Are you praying for them? Are you starting conversations with them? Are you looking for a way to build a discipleship relationship with them? Are you doing these things? I want to encourage you. I'm just telling you, as we seek God's face, as we pray, this place will not look the same if we make this commitment. It will not look the same. I'm making you a promise. I'm straight up telling you the truth. This place will not be the same if we make a commitment to be a church filled with disciples who are making disciples. We won't be the same. If you remember that little orange prayer card, we have extra copies on the round table at the Welcome Center out there. If you haven't grabbed it yet, I want to tell you, grab it and begin to pray those four things. To pray a request for grace to confess sins, and to be humble, that we would be a church that did that. The second thing is that we would have a compassion and a zeal for the flourishing of the church and the reaching of the lost and disconnected, that we would be that church, that God would put it on us to do that. And thirdly, that we would have a heart for the mission of being and making disciples. And fourthly, that we would have a yearning to know God, to see his face, to glimpse his glory, that we would be a church like that. I want to encourage you. I'm telling you, it is crazy. And I'm telling you as a follower of Jesus, a brother in Christ, not as a preacher. Okay? I have been seeking God's face for those things, for me and for our church. And I want to invite you to do the same. I'm no super spiritual person. I'm just a normal guy who's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I just want to invite you to be part as a disciple who makes disciples and seeks God's face, his face to lead us, all of us. These things I'm challenging you to with the five, I'm doing it too. We're right beside each other, and I am honored to be able to serve alongside of you. So here's something crazy. You guys like stories, I like stories. Let me tell you the end of a story. One day, there will be people from all races, all language groups, okay? All languages, all people groups, all tribes, every neighborhood, and they're going to be before the throne. They're going to be dressed in white, right? People like you and I. And they're going to be saying, salvation belongs to the God. They're going to be standing up screaming it. Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who's on the throne. And you know who part of those people are going to be? Some of them are going to be you guys. Some of them are going to be the people that you made a commitment before the Lord to walk with and disciple before the throne. Because you said, you know what? My life is not an accident. It's not about clocking in and clocking out. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. He has saved me. He intercedes for me. And he sent his spirit to empower me. So I'm going to be a disciple who makes disciples. I'm going to trust him, and I want to be part of the course one day, standing beside the people that he put in front of me to lead them to that day where we're able to stand and say, worthy is him who's on the throne, and to the Lamb who is slain, worthy is him. I want to be part of that, and I want you to know that that's part of your story. That is you. You're part of that. So at Grace, we don't want you to come here and just stand and look to heaven. We want you to be part of sending people there. Amen. Don't we want to be? We don't want to be just people who come on a Sunday. We want to be people who do what we've been called to do. So as witnesses, this is how we respond. It's the way that we've been responding for the past few weeks, right? We're going to reach in and be part of the solution. We know our mission. We're going to be about it. We're going to reach in and be part of it together. We're going to reach out and share the gospel to those people that God puts in our path where we live, work, and play, so whenever, wherever. And we're going to reach down to those who are broken and in need where we live, work, and play and care for them. And then together, we're going to link hands together. We're going to hook up and say, hey, look, God, we trust in you to empower us, to enable us to do and be what you've called us to be. This is who we are, church. Let's pray.